I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Bless you, buddy. Love you. To see you. How do you want to see you? To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. He's worthy, isn't he?
I am lifted up,
shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. You love him?
Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see amen and amen. Amen. You want to see him?
Yes.
And if you want to see him, you can see him.
Right.
Because he promised it.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you like, turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in Ephesians 1. And we'll go to, from Ephesians 1, we'll go to Matthew 17. It's glad to have our visitor back there with us. We always say when you come one time around here, you're a visitor. And you come two times, you're just a part of us. So make yourself comfortable. And now remember, the Lord willing, that the sisters will be, some of them will be leaving Sunday afternoon, and will be gone through part of next week on their little trip together. Instead of us having a Mother's Day and had to cook the steaks and all last year for them, so we decided we'd just send them all up to Pigeon Forge and let them, you know, be up there and all. But just remember that, and also now to the men. We're going again like we did last year, which the women should be back in Wednesday, the Lord willing, and we're leaving Thursday. So if you want to go fishing, trout fishing up in the mountains, camp out with us, come and go along with us, because we're going to have we had a wonderful time last year. We'll be there Thursday, part of the day, Thursday night, all day Friday, and part of Saturday. So if you want to come and be with us, we always have plenty to eat and plenty to do. But, you know, we kind of got a little thing that would be June the 16th, 17th, 18th. Now, all of your men, you're invited to come, but you better bring now, like, some snacks. You better bring you, like, an insect repellent. Might want to bring you some toilet paper. If you got a tent, make sure you bring it or check with somebody that you can camp with in one of the tents or something. Make sure you bring your sleeping bags. Now, don't come up there and say, well, I didn't hear all this. Well, I'm taking time to read it, so, all right? And Wade will give you a copy of it. Bring your sleeping bag, bring your pillows, bring your own drinks. Now, we will try to have water and, you know, maybe have some tea. But if you want soft drinks, make sure you bring your own. And especially to the parents with the children, make sure you bring, or the boys, you know, to be coming, make sure you bring them some drinks and all, to where that they'll have something and all in doing it. All right. You better bring your fishing stuff, like corn, worms, crickets, and stuff like that. Make sure if you're over 16, you got to have a fishing license. And it's a trout stamp. Not just fishing license. You got to have two. Now, don't just go in and say, I got a fishing license. You got to have a trout stamp to go with your fishing license. All right. Bring you some water in jugs and things for bathing. Better bring you some towels, washcloths, and whatever you do, bring some soap. Okay? So we'll, you know, that way we can make sure we do. But we will be, like most of the feeding will be done, which we did last year. We had a wonderful time on Friday night. We had fish galore just laid out, and the fresh cooked fish is wonderful and all. So just come and be with us and have a good time in it. All right, because we'll try to do that. It was beautiful weather last year, but make sure you bring you something, because it does get cool at night. It will drop down pretty cool in the nighttime, so you better bring your little jacket, some extra clothes and things, because you might fall in the creek. And if you don't fall, we might push you in the creek. So that's the way we try to have a little fun and just relax and have a good time in the Lord for a couple of days with all the brothers. Amen? So remember that. We will be giving out the things and all. And all of the brethren are invited to come and be with us and just have a good time in the Lord. Okay? Now, I think that's all I'm supposed to cover. So we'll go to Ephesians 1 and then Matthew 17. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day and the hour and the time that we can have. Thank you for, Lord, just being you and revealing yourself unto us, that we truly can find out who our Father really is. As the prophet said there, Lord, one day, he said, I found out I wasn't a son of Charles and Ella Branham. He wasn't denying his natural parents, but he found out who his real father is. And Lord, we're beginning to realize that and realization, so we ask you to just help us and give us understanding. As we read your words, you come and speak to our hearts and lead each one. Remember the sick among us. You said in your word, you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction, so we depend upon it. We believe you, and we thank you for all the promises. Forgive our sins. Cover us, Lord, by your blood. You know that we need to be sanctified to where that we would just be totally set aside for everything in you. Guide each and every one of us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1, this is about 12 times reading this. You ought to know these scriptures by now. Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, where before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having what? Predestinated us, were unto adoption. See, us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now let's go back to Matthew, so where everybody goes. And we're in the adoption, trying to bring it in three stages. And now we're up to the second stage of adoption, which more or less covers the coming to the Mount of Transfiguration experience of the Lord Jesus. Okay? Matthew 17, 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. As I said, we've been talking about adoption, and we pretty well tried to cover, not enough, but we covered most of the, you know, the thoughts that we would want to on that, how that you and I are adopted into the family of God by the new birth. Now, I know your adoption goes on to, you know, and that's the point we're dealing with is Romans 8, where it says that the whole world is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. All right, and that's in this day, and we covered in the last message of expecting the same ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ to be here. The prophet said, to bring back the headstone to the church, because the head has never united with the body in this part that is to be. Now, on the day of Pentecost, the head came as the cornerstone, but it couldn't manifest itself as the headstone. It has to wait till the last days to do that. The prophet said, in the church back there, he said it was the cornerstone. He said, in the full church, it's the headstone. So we're expecting the headstone to come. And as I told you, a lot of people say, oh, when I got the new birth, I got the headstone. Well, I don't agree with that, because the disciples, when they got the new birth, they didn't even get the headstone. So we've been over these things, you know, and trying to bring them out to show you. But we've been dealing with coming up to the basis to where, like the prophet said, you know, that when you're born again as a Christian, God gives you a checkbook. All right? And down at the bottom of that checkbook is, you know, how you sign it. It's signed Jesus Christ. And whatever you have need of, you just fill in what it is. You need healing. You need salvation. You need help. You need, you know, whatever you need for life. You just fill in what you have need of because it's already signed. But he said then there would be a day come, like in the natural adoption, to where that the father would adopt his own child into the family. And he said then he would give you the checkbook, but said there wouldn't be nothing signed, because that way you could fill out what you wanted, and then you sign your own name, because your name would be just as good as the father on the checkbook if you're really adopted into the family, you know, correctly. All right? And that's the stages where we're dealing with, and we tried to cover how that in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, that, see, he had a River Jordan experience, and in that experience it says, this is my beloved son, you know, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. All right? Now, he did not need the new birth, but he done that as an example for you and I. All right? See, then we have a new birth experience, and the Lord saying, I'm pleased to dwell in you. That's when you're a newborn baby. See, a babe in Christ, all right? And all people are born again as newborn babies, all except the 120 that was in the upper room. They were born to the place called the faith of the fathers. But 3,000 souls, just a few hours later or something, they started off as babies. And that's where the problem is babies trying to understand God's word. They already get it. They, you know, they know how to do everything, and they know how to, you know how you kids are. You kids now, you think you know a whole lot more than your parents. You know, you're just smart as all get out. But you wait. If time went on, you got to be about 30, 40 years old, you'd find out that you didn't know too much when you was about 15, 16. You'd find that out. You'd find out people didn't give a hoot what you thought. You know, you're really wanting to try to run the world and you can't do it. But anyhow, get on to what we're talking about. See? And I said we're coming up to then to where that the Lord Jesus, as I said, he had a River Jordan experience. Then he had a Mount of Transfiguration experience. All right? Now, the Transfiguration experience, it says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him. All right? Now, that was on up about probably, so we're give just a number, 6 months before Calvary, because the prophet said he left right there, went straight to Calvary to be crucified, you know, and all of that. So he went through that, and that's what the world was waiting on, was to see him. All right? Then we see that we receive the new birth to bring us into the body of Christ, making us the children of God, and then the adoption, the tutoring, he gives us the tutor, and we've seen that, you know, the tutor is not in the natural. A tutor is somebody you hire. You know, you hire a person to tutor your child. But in the Christian experience, it's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father, right? Or else you got two spirits and you're all messed up, see? So it's the Holy Spirit coming to dwell in us, which is the Spirit of the Father, to give us his nature. So he's inside of us tutoring us. Sure, he's using a fivefold ministry. He's using other people to help and things like that. But the main thing is the inside teacher, you know, and doing that. And like I've tried to bring out to you, the way I think a lot of people talk about adoption is that the father's leaving the scene, you know, going off, and the son's coming on. That's really making us something. I don't agree with that. I don't believe it that way. I believe adoption is when the father's coming on the scene in the son. Because wouldn't that what happened to Jesus? Now, 2 Corinthians 5:19 said God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Well, see, that's what happened to Jesus. See, he and the Father became one. I gave you a lot of the things. I didn't give them back to you tonight. But Brother Brown said in body, he was a man. In soul, he was God. All right? He'd say that in body he was a man, and he said in spirit he was God. He said that's a mystery, but said it's true. See? Because that way we're not going into a trinity, neither are we going into a oneness. See? we're holding it in the correct order because God was in Christ. What happened? When that baby was born, that baby, that body was a body that was a creation by the Word, Hebrews 10:5. But see, the soul and the spirit was Almighty God.
Amen.
That's why the Bible would say that you know, he was born Lord to Christ.
Amen.
All right? See, then in doing that, then, he didn't have to become God, as people say on the River Jordan. He was born God.
Amen.
Because God was in that flesh.
Amen.
But see, everybody else wants to make it some kind of a something that comes down on that flesh.
Yeah.
No, it was God in that, you know, that's simply, to me, what one God is.
Amen.
See, that there he was, a body that he created, stepped into it, soul and spirit was Almighty God. And if the prophet of God said that spirit on a tape called Faith, 1961, he said that spirit was the spirit that spoke in sundry times. All right? See, it was the Holy Spirit. Okay? See, then when he died, there was no problem with him dying. The soul and spirit just stepped out of the body. Well, the body was dead. It steps out of your body, your soul, your spirit steps out, you're dead. See? So there's no problem with understanding, but the thing to get where we're at. See, the Lord Jesus was identified on the River Jordan. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. When you receive that new birth, as I said a moment ago, God says, I'm pleased to dwell in you. I know what people say on that. You go, no, I don't know about that. Maybe he might. No. If you have the new birth, he's pleased to dwell in you.
Amen.
All right? Get it straight and run it to where it's supposed to be.
Amen.
He must be pleased to dwell in you. He's dwelling in you.
Amen.
If he wasn't pleased, he wouldn't be there. All right?
Amen.
But see, then that being, as we'd say, the River Jordan, where it said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. But now we're coming to hear ye him. The coming to a place that we're like the Lord Jesus had reached a position that full authority rested there. Alright? Now, in that man was full authority, because if you're going to get anything, you're going to have to go from there. Okay? Now, watch my point, because I'm trying to get something to you tonight to just, you know, help us to see where we're at. Alright? Now, then after his Mount of Transfiguration experience, see, it wasn't a lot said. He goes straight to Calvary. On his way there, he preaches six seals in Matthew 24. All right? He didn't preach that until after the anointing came on him on Mount of Transfiguration. He didn't preach that in his early ministry. He preached that there when he had been adopted, in other words. All right? Now, then if that be true, why can't we parallel exactly? See? And to see that in the end time, when Brother Branham came to his place, that he preached six seals. All right? He met the angels of the Lord, taken up into the cloud, and he says they didn't tell him anything back there. He said they told him to come back, and it would be told him. And that's like I told you, he said, I don't know what the first seal is. Well, then if he did, he was a liar.
Right.
You know, but, you know, people don't like for you to be that positive. They want you to be flexible. Well, I'm sorry, I'm just like I am. You know, I just said on that basis to, I believe it.
Amen.
See, I believe, and if you'll get it tonight, you'll see what I'm talking about. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was adopted, Mount of Transfiguration. And then he preached the greatest messages he had ever preached.
Right.
Now, you think about it, though. After his Mount of Transfiguration experience, see, that's where everybody thinks that when you get an experience with God like a Mount of Transfiguration, to hear ye him, that, boy, you're just going to go out, and you're going to empty hospitals, you're going to just do this, you're going to turn the world upside down. Well, it didn't happen with the Lord Jesus.
Right.
There was more miracles and signs and wonders in his early ministry than there was in the last part of it.
Amen.
There was a whole lot more in the Apostle Paul
right.
in his early ministry than there was in the end. Because
right.
Brother Brown even refers to it. To the people would say, Paul, you used to be able to do this, but since you look like you've lost it.
Yeah.
Well, see? And look at Brother Branham, early ministry. Great signs and wonders and healings going every which way. Preaching to 500,000. Seals break, and he's preaching to 30. Right? See? It looks right reverse to what we think it ought to be. Well, what are we expecting it to be with us then? I'm using only these as an example to compare Brother Branham's ministry and the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. I said ministry because I don't believe Brother Branham was God. No. But God used the man to bring it. If that spirit that was in sundry times and diverse manners was the spirit of Christ, then it was still using in Brother Branham, and he was not exalting himself, he was exalting God. All right? Now, see, then in doing that, parallel the two or compare the two and look at the ministry back there and look at the ministry of Brother Branham. All right? And you see it coming right along together. See? Odd birth, you know, very odd. Odd life. Then a ministry. Then he preaches for quite a while. And then God comes on the scene. And the Lord Jesus, and then the seals breaks. And, you know, as we was bringing out the other day, then the commandments. People, they want the commandments. They think that's a bunch of rules. It's not. It's God in letter form. The Bible's God in letter form. We made it rules. Yeah. We say, yeah, but it says, thou shalt not kill. Well, don't you think it ought to be right? You want to go about, be able to go kill and just get better, you know? No, not quite. We're not supposed to be that way. But follow what I'm doing now. Let's look at it and see what happened there and see what happened down here with Brother Branham. But now I'm telling you, are you listening? Those are only an example for you and I. Well, now I can see it back there, you know, but I don't know. All right, remember a few weeks ago when I preached a little message on that people are looking back, Brother Branham said, or they're looking forward and failing to see what's taking place. All right, that's the most denominational mix-up that it could ever be. See, you're looking back. Are you looking forward? Now look where we are now. Tomorrow's not here yet. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. See? All right, everything got to be present tense. I thought we believed that was what the word Elohim, you know, means self-existing, but it means present tense. Right here now. All right? See, we're not talking about a God of yesterday. That's a faith builder, you know. We look back, we compare. All right, looking that away. There's no faith in looking forward. Right. How can there be any faith in looking forward? Because it's not revealed. Now, it can be revealed about the future home. It can be where we're going and what we're doing. But no, I'm talking about the revealed word. Right. But see, if we're to expect in the end time, as we read there and kept giving the thing Sunday all day there about the ministry of Jesus Christ is to repeat in the bride. Right. Sure, we can see it in Brother Branham, but where is it in the bride? All right. It's got to be in the bride, not just back there, see. All right. Now, look what both of those men done. All right. Now, I gave you a quote, and I want to just read the quote, and then we'll pick the point up. Number one on your notes, position in Christ, 1965-22, the morning service. Is that right? Waiting. God trying to place his church in position to manifest himself. Getting one that he can work through like this, say, there's my spirit flowing freely. There it is. I can work through. Get another one over here and place him. I can place him. Adoption, placing, manifesting, taking him out there and put a ceremony on him, visit him with an angel, tell him something. See? Then he goes on telling about the manifestation of sons and daughters of God. Now what happened in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ? See? As I said, you have the experience of the River Jordan. All right. Then he goes through life. And you'll see every once in a while an angel appearing and things different with him, you know, in part like he was out in the, quick as he got through with the baptism, you know, the scripture says he went out into the deserts, you know, and was out there for 40 days without water or food, and you can't do that. So it proved he had to be God. All right, you can't last without water that long, let alone last without food, you know, or anything else. But, see, then the angels of God visited him and strengthened him. All right? Now, angels have always been connected to, we'll get back to it in a few minutes. Now, you know, I preached a few months ago, or I was trying to look back and check if I could find it, but maybe 6 months ago, I don't know exactly, but remember when I was preaching how the angels of God are encamped about those who fear him, and they are ministering spirits. We'll get to it in a minute. Hebrews 1:14-15, they're ministering spirits for the ministering to the heirs of salvation. All right, get that in your mind now. Angels ministering to the heirs of salvation. So you see angels ministering to the Lord Jesus. Right. You see things happening through his life. All right. But then one day he goes and meets real heavenly angels, doesn't he? Because he was there with God on Mount of Transfiguration. And he was there with Moses and Elias. Angels, messengers, come to tell him something. That's what we just read now. Take him out, visit him with an angel, tell him something. All right? See, then the Lord Jesus went forth from there to preaching throughout the scriptures, and then he comes up into Matthew 24, and he's preaching the seals and the things like that. All right? So now, do you see what I'm talking about? The angels are there, all the things are there. All right, what happened with Brother Branham? When he was born, there was an angel there, pillar of fire, etc. Things happened. All through his life, an angel would speak to him. He met the angel, talked with the angels. The angels were related to him all the way through his ministry. Not after he got away on down, all the way through his ministry. The angel of God was there with him to tell him the things that, you know. Now, I'm sure, now you know yourself, he calls it Holy Spirit sometimes, so we preached on that, right? That's why it says the angel singular of God encampeth about those who fear him. It doesn't say angels. It said angel singular. Because you take all the angels, you bring them together for their job they're doing, and what have you got? The Holy Spirit. Right? Which is the angel of God. That's why all born-again believers have an angel.
Right.
All right? But I believe you have an angel besides just having the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right? But see, Brother Branham meets with that angel. All kind of things happens to his life. But then one day, he's told to go to Tucson, Arizona because of a dream, right? And he met with seven angels. All right? And when he got there, see, he said to one next to him, in other words, the seventh angel. You're going down reading. It's in the quote number 3. See? Number 2, he's telling how he's out there, and he says, you know, concentrate yourself because of the visitation of these angels, because they were coming. Then he goes down into the seal book. I gave it to you, 7th seal, not 560 of the seal book, 324 to 1963. He said, he took me up, he looked more to me than any of the rest. That one angel, see, the seventh angel had to do with him. All right. So now, what are we having? What are we talking about? Comparing what happened with the Lord Jesus with what happened with Brother Branham. You follow that comparison? All kind of things where you could just go and spend days and days and days preaching about the things in comparison of what was taking place. Right? And see, that would be then coming out to be the one to where that we had an angel. All right? Now, all born-again believers, the prophet said, has an angel. He said he's assigned to you when you're born. Why? Because he knows. He knows who's going to receive the Holy Ghost. So it's not to just say, quote, the Holy Ghost. See? It's an angel of God. All right? Hebrews 1, as I said, 14:15 says that those angels are what? Ministering spirits to minister unto the children of God. All right? And we can look back and we can compare Brother Branham to the Lord Jesus. But what about you and I?
Amen.
That's right. What about you and me? What, you know, are we to just look at and compare things and talk about what was? Or one of these days it will be? Well, just remember, if there was a was. That's not good language, but I guess it gets the point across. But if there was a was, the was had to be speaking of the right now. Right?
Right?
All right? So we look back and we draw faith from what was behind to be able to walk in where we are now. Okay? Then, and only then, when we see it present tense, can we even think of a future. But you see, we want to jump from back there to go over there. It doesn't work that way. See? We've got to have something here now. All right? See, I believe that according to what the prophet is telling us, the Lord Jesus was adopted on the Mount of Transfiguration. All right? Then he went forth and preached the seals. I believe Brother Branham was adopted in 1963 when the angels met him out there. And then he came back and proven it because he came back and preached the seals, the same identical comparison as the ministry of Christ. Now, I wrote it like this, so do what you want to. See? See, people say, but I believe Brother Branham was adopted in his early ministry. What early? When? You know, bring me scriptures or anything to compare it. You say, well, he had great signs and wonders. Well, so did the Lord Jesus have signs and wonders before his Mount of Transfiguration.
Right?
I just got through saying that and you agreed. See, you didn't know where I was going, so it'd probably be better not to shake your head and agree with me sometimes, you know. Because I'm going on down the road. All right? And I know doing that, a lot of times you just stop because you're afraid. You know, well, why are you afraid? Is it true that Brother Branham's ministry and the Lord Jesus compares exactly?
Amen.
See? That doesn't make Brother Branham anything. It makes God something.
Right.
But you say it, and I wrote it this way, so you can do it. I'm not going to argue with you about any point. I told you, a brother up in Tennessee lost a family because he preached this, that Brother Branham was adopted in 63 with the angel of the Lord coming to him. And a family left him because we don't know where he was adopted at. Well, you agree he was adopted. Well, everybody here agree Brother Branham was adopted.
Amen.
Now, some of you are shaking your head, some of you are saying amen, and some of you are just looking. So I guess a good stern look means amen. This means no, so I don't get any of that. All right. Now, you get the point?
Amen.
Somewhere Brother Branham was adopted.
That's right.
All right. Somewhere the Lord Jesus was adopted. And according to the Bible, we can read it perfectly where he was because the prophet said that was his adoption on Mount of Transfiguration. Well, I didn't comparison of Brother Branham's ministry. See, the angels come to the Lord Jesus, Moses and Elias, and what were they doing? Messengers come to the Lord Jesus. They were telling him about his second coming. Matthew 24, you know, I mean, when it, Matthew 17, when it comes to there, they were telling him about his second coming. All right. Well, see, then, when Brother Branham met the angels of the Lord, what was they talking about? He said to one with the seventh seal, he said, that is his coming. Well, it's still comparing. But, see, it ain't going to, why would we, no need of arguing a point of where this happened, where that happened. It happened. See? Well, I just don't like your attitude because we don't know where it happened. Well, you don't either. You just said it. Well, why argue the point? I'm comparing it. But after all that said and done, if you was right and I was wrong and I was right and you was wrong, where would that make anything right? Come on. The only way that we know what happened to Brother Branham and that happened to the Lord Jesus is it's got to happen to you and I.
Amen.
Now, if it don't, we don't know whether that be true or not. We're looking back. And remember, that's three unclean spirits like frogs, because frogs look what? Backward. All right? See, they don't even look forward. That is a point. Amen. But now listen. See? There was more signs in the early part of the Lord Jesus' ministry than in the last part. There was more signs in Brother Branham's early ministry than there was in the last part of his ministry. See? And then when you get down to what he would call in the third pull, remember there's a quote where he says, I believe all of them people was healed. He said, because the Bible says it. But he said, take that little girl to the doctor. And he said, I guarantee you healing. We call that the third pull. Well, you don't only happen on a sparingly doing. Right? It didn't happen every service, did it? Come on. But they were sick, healed, and dead raised, stuff like that, almost every service. But he never spoke of it as the third pull. See? That's why the Lord Jesus, when it come down to it, and he went to Calvary, when he was in the garden, he prayed through and he yielded to the Father. And he said, okay, it's over with. I'm through. I'm, you know, whatever you want me to do, it's done. And very few words were said after then, until even Pilate referred to it. In other words, ain't you going to talk to me? Don't you know that I have power to set you free? And what did he say? He said, the only power you have is what my Father gives you. He didn't argue, did he? He didn't scream and holler. I see people doing that trying to cast out demons. Demons love screaming and hollering. You ain't going to scream and holler a demon out. You just speak the word. Take that and move on with it. All right. But watch now. The reason I speak of these things to you tonight, about the way the Lord Jesus experiences and the way that Brother Branham's experiences and how they compare, is because it will compare through the word. All right? See? Then coming Jesus, leaving Mount of Transfiguration, he's going towards Calvary and receiving the complete revelation of the opening of the Word, and he preached it in Matthew 24. Huh? Brother Branham, the things he was doing, and then he comes forth after the visitation of the angels, and he comes forth and preaches the seals, and his ministry just starts tapering off. Right? I mean, is that what it looks like? Yeah. What? All right, now. What are we talking about? See? He preached the seals. He met the angels. He come back preaching the seals. Have you met the angels of God? Because according to what I just read now, you want to reread it again? See? Get another one here. Position in Christ, where we started. 5:22, the morning service. Adoption place, manifested himself out here and put a ceremony on him. Vision with an angel, tell him something. Now, if he's told the truth, watch. Now, if he's just making up something, it won't work. No, that won't work. We've had a lot of that. But I mean manifestations of sons of God. When God manifests himself and sends him out, and then he goes forth, and what he says is truth. What he does is a truth. What he does, he manifests Christ. How do you judge him? How do you judge any person? Oh, I look him in the eye. I just judge your spirit, you know. You don't judge spirits by looking in the eye. You judge it with just right here what the prophet said. How do you judge him? By the way he stays with the word. Right with the word, see? That's how you know all men, is by the way he stays with the word. All right? So now Hebrews, we're back to that. 1, 14 and 15. We've had an angel. Right? Brother Branham. Right? The seventh church age messenger, an angel. If you have the new birth, you have the Holy Spirit, which is an angel of God in manifestation and can be used that way. And you also, the prophet of God said, if you need these, send me a letter. I'll be glad to send them to you. He said, ever born again Christian has an angel. Huh? Now, has your angel taken you out and told you anything? If it happened with the Lord Jesus, and it happened with Brother Branham, don't you think it'll happen here in the end time?
Amen.
With you and I.
Amen.
That's all I'm doing. That's as simple as I'm making it. That's, you know, everybody says, Brother Dale, it's so deep. Where is that so deep at? What is the point of deep? It's just comparing the things and then saying that it's not for us to just sit down and say, look what we've had. Wonderful what we've had. But God is not the God of the had. He's the God of the living.
Amen.
See? Has He taken you out and visited you with an angel? Told you something for the people? Now here's where, you know, we're going to go for a little while, all right? So you can go ahead and go to sleep and forget the rest of the message. Because we're going to get personal. Now, has He visited you with an angel? All right. Now, that's your own experience. Now, what He visited Brother Branham is not my experience. But what He's visited me is not your experience. All right? Everybody got me in what I'm saying? Has He visited you? Because I believe when the headstone comes to the individual, that means God Himself steps on the scene in that individual.
Amen.
Has He met you?
Right.
Yeah. All right. See, then you're going to say, Brother Dale, all you're just trying to do is, okay, go ahead, do what you want to. It's all right with me. But you see, I've told you this, what, 40 years ago? So it ain't something I've hatched up. Okay? Anybody want to get up here and walk up and tell how many times Brother Dale has seen an angel in his home? Somebody tell me, how many times? Three times. Okay. You say, well, did He tell you anything? Nope. I told you what I done. The first time I seen it, I grabbed my pistol and took off at it because it was real. It was not a figurative of my imagination. My imagination don't play games. I never was a drunk that seen a pink elephant. I've always had a sane mind. And when I saw that man standing in my bedroom door, I took a pistol and went after him. That's how real it was. But the next two times I seen it again right after then. And then I seen after we moved to where we live now. And I always wondered had I moved to the wrong place because of where I'd seen an angel before. But then I woke up one night and I looked up there and I know the difference in a dream and a leery world where you're in between the two. Huh? But you see, He didn't tell me anything. Huh? So that's not going to make anything out of me. It's just telling you that it can happen. The Brother Brown said, God let some people have these experiences where they can tell others. Right. Okay. I just tell you what I've seen. I told you that when I was about 10 or 11 years old, that I saw God in a church standing there. Not a Hoffman's head of Christ, not a figure. I couldn't tell you how much he weighed, what it was. I just saw Him standing there and I knew it. I wanted to see that God. And all of my Christian experience, I wanted somebody to tell me about that God I saw. And I couldn't find it. I'd talk to the Baptist people about it, and they say, all you need to do is just go, you need to go to a Pentecostal church, you know, and get in with the moving of the Spirit. Well, what I didn't know was what I ought to win, I guess. But I tried. I walked in a church one day, where we used to go to church, right before we left, not too long. The doors were locked. Everything was closed up. And I walked in. And there was a man walking around the basement. The doors were all locked. I unlocked them. I was the one that got there first. I generally do it here. And I opened the doors and went in. He was in the basement. I said, "Good to see you, sir." He said, "Oh, I was just traveling down the road." "I got to go, though." I said, "Well, hang around. We'll be having services in a little while." He said, "No." I said, "I just stopped in." I said, "But I got to go." Well, I said, "Okay, I'll go out the door, you know." He went out the door, and he walked down, and he walked down and walked to the highway and was walking towards Gainesville. Well, it's kind of odd. That's the way we went when we found this message. You know, all them, you can say, "Well, you're just doing this, doing that." No, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm asking you a question. Has God met you? Now, you can't deny this one. And I wasn't in no cave. I wasn't in no hills. I wasn't in no doings, because I'm not made that way. God has spoke to me when I was out in the woods, but he spoke to me. And when he spoke to me about those seals and showed me how they broke, I was running a job at General Motors that nobody couldn't run when I was out. It was so fast. They would have to put a man and a half at least onto that job that day. It was so fast. And yet the Lord right there opened those seals up to me and began to show me. And me running a job that a man could not run it for 15 minutes for me to go take a break, 16 in the afternoon. I'd have to help him out, as we called it, getting behind, you know, going down the line, called it getting in the hole. That was a way of going down the line. I'd have to help him back up before he could leave and go on to another. But the Lord came one day and visited me, and he told me about the opening of the seals. And it stands till today. I've never had anybody challenge it. It stands till today. Probably a lot of people wanted to, but they knew they couldn't handle it, because it was too much of what the prophet had said, because there's no honor to this man ever been given. All of the honor I give is to Brother Branham's ministry and message. He was not God, but God used that man to speak. And now for 20-something, 30 years, because that was 79, and then I preached them in 82 over again. But in 1979, I preached it and tried to bring Christ to you. It's all I've ever tried to bring. I fully believe what Brother Renner said. You go to Christ the Mystery, he said, if you miss it in them seals, he said, come back to this message. That's what he said. He didn't say go back and read the seal book again, which that's what we need to do. I need to do that now. But he said, come back to this message, Christ the Mystery. Because there was the mystery, Christ. And that's what he revealed to me, was Christ. And just right working, I mean working a job. And I'm not, you know, you can ask these brothers, they were there. The jobs that I ran, they actually on that job, they were told to load me and fire me. My supervisor told me finally. He said, the more work I put on you, the better job you've done. And they finally backed off, and they got afraid, and they backed up and gave me good jobs, because they seen that I was honest and sincere. But yet the Lord come down and spoke to me and showed me how that, what, here stands a lamb, the first seal. Here stands a lamb with a book in his hand. He said, there goes a white horse rider. Said, look at that fella riding off. Look at that guy going the other way. Because if you ever see two people in the Bible, you can't have two lords. That won't work. If there's two people in the Bible, one of them's the devil and one of them's God. Because God is not two persons. He's one God. Right? So then the prophet of God go to the first seal and look at it. He said, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand, and there goes that white horse rider. He said, thereby it could not be the Holy Spirit that he even used to think and preach that it was. But he said, it's got to be the Antichrist. Well, the Lord revealed that to me, and that stood now for 30-something years. Amen. But see, that's what I don't understand. To you ministers out there that be listening, or any ministers here or whatever, has God ever come down and visited you? Tell you something? Now, I hope you understand what I was saying. I didn't count the three times I seen. I didn't count even the person that I saw standing in a church when I was 11 years old. I never counted none of those as a new birth or anything. I just tell what I saw. And see, some people out there, they say, oh, he's just making this up. Well, there's plenty of people sitting right here in the building that'll verify that I've told this 40 years ago. So I don't have to prop it up now. And I'm not bragging except on Jesus Christ. But why is the ministers around the message are scared of the seals? Why are they afraid to preach? Why are they afraid to preach like the prophet of God said? If you don't understand Daniel 70 weeks, you're going to miss it in the seals. He said that in the Daniel 70 weeks book. But yet, who understands Daniel 70 weeks? Where is it anybody even preaches on Daniel 70 weeks? But he said, if you don't understand it, you'll miss it. I wasn't the one that made those quotes. But you see, about 1973, I began to study. And the Lord opened that Daniel 70 weeks up to me. And I preached it. And I say again, it stood the test. Because it's never been tackled publicly. They won't tackle it because they don't understand, really. But yet it still stands to date. I believe the same thing I did 1973, 74. See, church, I've not tried to bring to you my own doctrine or idea. I've tried to bring Christ to you. I've tried to stay even away from telling you about things that would take place. Because I don't want it built on that. No, it's all built on Jesus Christ. But where do you see anybody, see? Come on now. Sure, oh yeah, we preach on it. We preach on it. But what do they preach? Well, I'm not a teacher like you. If you're a fivefold ministry person with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're supposed to have the Holy Ghost and a ministry, and that ministry is supposed to be capable of teaching in the capacity of your ministry. But of course, we like to go to Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, where Brother Branham said the teachers just want to miss it, but they don't see, they just want to throw it off on the teacher. They don't want to. But I agree the teachers has missed it. But I'm just telling you. God met me and told me, and I come told you about it 30 years ago. And it still stands today. Of course, I'm not very popular, but that's no problem. Neither was the Lord Jesus, and neither was Brother Branham. And Brother Branham got over and preached, started on that seventh seal. Have you ever really heard what he said? Now, he was just trying to explain Jesus Christ, right? Do you agree? You believe that Brother Branham, all he was doing through the seals and all, was just explaining Jesus Christ, trying to show Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that? You know what he said? He said, thousands of my friends will leave me. Why? Because he's trying to explain Jesus Christ. They couldn't argue about the gift. They wouldn't argue or try in any way to attack the angel. They said, oh, while he's praying for the sick, while he's doing this, he's a prophet. But said, when he starts preaching the word, But you see, the prophet of God said it's on perfect faith. I think I gave it to you in one of the, number four on your notes. You become the Word as you receive the Word. How can you become the Word? Oh, I just born the Word. Now, not according to what the prophet says on number five on your notes, on who is this Melchizedek? Who is this Melchizedek? Brother Brown said, you bypassed the Word. He said, Jesus came the Word. He said, you bypassed the Word. But he said, you become the Word here. We become the Word here. The Lord Jesus was born the Word.
Amen.
All right. Well, we bypassed it. So we have to become the Word here. And to do that, it means that we must have the new birth. Look what he says. Then we become the Word. Here we are formed to the Word image to be a partaker of the Word, feed on the Word by being, now here's the problem, predestinated since the beginning. You see that little speck, spark of life that laid in you from the beginning when you started your journey. Oh, but Brother Dale, I just, something was in me when I started. Right. Little spark of life. Little representation of predestination is what he said the little woman at the well had. One time he calls it representation from predestination. The other time he calls it representation by predestination. But you see, it's like I told you back a few weeks ago, a month or so ago. There's a predestinated Word. The Word is what comes predestinated. It is not the people comes predestinated eternally from God, right? You remember the quotes in the Church Age book? It's the person, not the person that comes, it's the seed or Word. There's a Word for every age. I preached about two sermons on that. A Word, a seed for every age. Martin Luther was the just shall live by faith. But yeah, they made it a reformation. Because even he tried to reform the church. But the message he brought was restoration. But it turned into reformation. But you and I can't be in reformation anymore. We've got to be in total restoration. Because the Bible says the restitution, which is the word restore, all things. Even broke it down for you there a message or so ago that Joel says that it's to restore what has fallen away. Joel is speaking of the church ages because it's what the cankerworm, palm worm, locust, and the caterpillar ate down. But Brother Branham didn't come just to restore the ages. He come to restore all the Word.
Amen. That's right.
Even marriage and divorce, all the things he preached after then, where did he say it was revealed at? He said the rapture was revealed in them seals. That's what he says.
Amen.
See, because the seals is the entire Word of God.
Amen.
All right. Now, if God, if he's come on the scene and give us the revelation of the Word, then what are we looking for? What are we looking for to happen? Well, if we had that, there wouldn't be a sick person among us. You know whose fault the prophet said it is? The reason is the sick people among us. Now you want him? What did he say was the reason that there's sick people among us? He said because there's people among us that are not right. He said one unconfessed sin in a church will cause the whole church to fail.
That's right.
And you'll have to bitterly answer, he says, quote the rest of it. So then whose fault is it that God's not among us? God has brought his Word. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. I'm not trying to exalt anything other than Jesus Christ. The comparison of the Lord Jesus and the comparison of Brother Branham and the comparison to me and you. He said, "Well, Brother Dale, he's never met me with an angel." No, he didn't stop a line at General Motors. He didn't send down a great pillar of fire and holler at me and tell me all about it. It was an inward thoughts that was coming that I was writing down. I could only write two or three words because of the speed of the job I was running. And I know you ain't going to understand this one. But I thought, God, if this is true, if what you're showing me is true, then there's no way for me to break it or stop it. I turned around and told a man on the other side of the line a joke. Not a dirty joke. I don't believe in them. I told him a joke. We laughed. And I turned around, picked up my pen, and caught the job, run like crazy, picked the pen up and started writing again. It was just perfectly right down the line. Never even a gap in the wording. You remember the old manifest that was on the jobs? You know, they had to have them where you could keep up with it. You remember the other day, the manifestation? See, I'd rip off those manifests and lay it down on the table upside down because it wouldn't have been written on the backside, and I'd write a few notes, and I'd take them, put them in my pocket, and write a few notes. My wife now, she finds little pieces of paper laying on my desk or anywhere in my clothes. She takes them and puts them up because she knows it means I've something. Yeah. Everybody thinks, though, it's got to be that the Lord's just going to, he's just going to be there with you, and it's to be all day long. Listen to a man one day telling about it. I ain't making fun of him. It's his business between him and God. But he said the Lord told him where to fish. And he said, no, Lord, I'm going to fish over here in this deep water. So the Lord said, no, I'll fish over here. And he said, no, I'm going to fish over here. It's just an argument for a long time. Now, I don't believe that. But he did say fish throwed over there and caught some fish where the Lord told him. So that's between him and the Lord. But I'm just saying, God don't play games. When he comes sometimes and he just speaks one word. Oh, if he'd just give me a word, that's all I need. I don't need a whole page. I was wondering how to follow this tonight in the correct order. Walking around down in the basement there a while ago, and I said, Lord, I need just a little bit more. I know what I want to say, but I need a little bit more. He said, what have you been preaching about the angels? That they're ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto the heirs of salvation. That's all I needed. That's all I needed. See? Has God visited you with an angel? See, now I'm telling you, you're looking for something you see out there, some great halo, some light, something speaking to you. And God can do that. And have done that with people. But what about that still, small voice? I thought that was what attracted the prophet's attention. That it wasn't the great loud thunders and the lightnings and the wind and the things. And you know that God appeared in every one of those things in Bible terminology. He appeared in the thunders. He appeared in the lightning. He appeared in the wind. Right? But none of those brought the prophet out of the cave. And then it's kind of odd too, isn't it? Looked like he'd want to stay in there. But he heard a still small voice. Hey, if you ever hear him, don't worry about it. You can't stay in the cave either. People around the country, you'll do it. A lot of you're going to tonight. You're going to be saying this, and then when I get through, I'm going to quit saying anything about it. But you're not going to think that God has been with us. You're going to think if it was, we would see this and we would see that, and why haven't we seen this? Because of you. Is that enough? I told you, I'll make it blunt. It's because of you and your unbelief. And I'm looking over the congregation and I ain't singling out one person. It's our unbelief is what's caused it. You don't believe God has been with us. May I quote Brother Branham? We can't go into desperation. God has to bring us to desperation. But what we have seen in Lula, Georgia for 40 years ought to throw us into desperation. Because we haven't had to back off of any of these doctrines and things that went around the country. The two souls, the seven thunder virtues, Perusia, Son of Man, all these River Jordans, the two lords, all these things, it hasn't taken us to where that we've got caught in the junk. Yep. That's right. But you don't think there's an honor to that. You don't think Oh, it's just your intellect, brother. You've just been stubborn, that's why. Did you mean that? Did you mean it was just my stubbornness? Well, then that'd make my stubbornness better than your Holy Ghost, because evidently your Holy Ghost ain't been able to keep you out of doctrines. Is that enough? You mean my stubbornness has kept me out and you went after those junks? And I'm not just preaching out there. Most people says, you know, Brother Moore, he had that way of doing. He'd lean over the pulpit and point at the microphone. He said, I'm talking about out there. Well, I ain't talking about out there. I'm talking about here. Now, what's out there can hear. It's been made available. Me? But yet people had drove the house somebody that's predicted 14 times and every one of them been wrong, and each time they'd say, this is thus saith the Lord. Well, now, something happened wrong somewhere. And we read the Bible the other day where what you're supposed to do with that kind of person. Right? Somebody prophesies a lie, you're supposed to kill him. Of course, the government won't let us. And I wouldn't want to either because I'm a Christian. So what do? You say, Brother Dale, now don't say the rest of what you're fixing to say. I am going to say it too. I'll do my best to kill the influence. You say you kill a man, you kill his influence, you've killed a man. Don't play garbage with me. You mean I'm supposed to pat the Pope on the back and, brother, we agree with everything you say. I can't speak against you because I'm a Christian. Martin Luther said, they said, Martin Luther, the world is against you. He said, then you let the world know I'm against them. You kill a man, you kill his influence. I'm trying my best to kill the influence the devil's got on your mind and mine. I've been doing that for 40-something years, trying to kill that influence that devil's got on you and I. And I'll try my best to kill it until the day I die. Trying my best to cleanse you and I with the Word, because what have I told you over and over? How can you ever have anything in God? How do you get the stature of a perfect man? How do you get the virtues of God? Only by the revealed Word. You can't manufacture it. You can't pump it up. But when God reveals a word, He comes down and just speaks and just adds those virtues to. Forgive me for being personal. Don't change my salary. Won't make me no more popular. And my phone won't be ringing when I get home to go anywhere else and preach. I told you I wanted 2 years ago. I wanted to get this message out. I cried and prayed, God, how? Wade come along. I thought, oh God. These ministers knows I've talked with them, told them, go out and take this message to other people. Take the messages out to other people. I thought, oh God, Wade comes along, they'll have him because he's got a little different delivery. He's doing pretty good, but he's getting unpopular too. And the more he preaches, the more unpopular he'll get. If he preaches the truth. Right? Because the truth is not too well spoke of. But why? Why would we not want the prophet's message? I don't understand that. I cry, I'm praying. God, what's wrong? What's wrong with people that don't want to hear what Brother Branham had to say in the purity? Oh, bless God, that's why we stay at home and play tapes. Well, now you just got a few scriptures and a lot of quotes from Brother Branham that's facing you, so go right ahead. The prophet said, you can't wait till them doors open. Well, that's to get to play the tapes. He never mentioned playing tapes. He said there's a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. Now, if you ain't got no fivefold ministry, you know that. I've explained it. Play the tapes till you get one. But be searching for a fivefold ministry. Some of you have left and crossed countries sitting here in California. You say, well, it's on my job. Well, the Lord knows how to do that, don't He? do you? He knows how to put us all together. But you see, church, I'm just trying to talk about Jesus Christ. That's all. It's Christ. And Him glorified. Now I'm going to quote Brother Randall, and I'll give you the quote later. He said adoption. He's talking about Mount Transfiguration now. He said adoption glorifies Jesus. Now you see a man trying to glorify himself, then you got problems. But you see a man trying to glorify Jesus Christ. I just read you a quote where the prophet said, see what he does with the word. Come and show me where I've missed the word. Brother just left recently, you know, not too long ago, and I just asked him one simple question. I said, brother, just show me where I'm off the word. I said, just show me. Well, you go to them fellowship meetings, and them fellowship meetings is Antichrist. I said, well, still I want to ask you one simple question. Show me where I'm off the word. Well, you're just so dumb and don't understand. I told you you're off the word because you go to fellowship meetings. That brother fellowships with more people than I do. So there's a lot of them that make fun of me about going to fellowship meetings. They stay on the telephones talking around the country and know more about what's going on in this message than I know of at all. I don't know anything except I hear it from some of you. Because I'm not on internet. Me and my wife watched a video last night. You know who it was? Donnie Reagan. You know what it's about? He done a good job. I literally thought about calling him and asking him, could I play the tape in his church? He done a good job. You know what he's talking about? Sex. So everybody make fun of him talking about sex, but you tell me the man wouldn't write. Now sure, he could have explained certain things a little bit more into detail, right? Okay. But he made a good point. He said a man ought to marry, a woman ought to marry, to keep from burning in their bodies. He said that's God's ordained way for a husband and wife. And he said it's God's way of keeping you from burning in your lust. I agree with him. That's what I said. When I hear the truth, I don't mind amen it. I don't care if the Pope of Rome said it. Because we're going to be judged by the Word. You don't have to worry about whether what Brother Dale's told you is the truth about angels or what he's met or what he's seen. You won't be judged by that. That was my own personal things. You will be judged by the words you've heard. And you'll either be justified by it or you'll be condemned by it. And I know that. And that makes you stand in reverence and respect to realize that God has been with us 40 years. To teach us the word. Doctrines hasn't come in here and busted the church up. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Have you heard the word? For 40-something years, 40 years here. Amen. Well, thank God for the Word. Amen. Right? You know, a dumb donkey told the truth one day. I thank God for the dumb donkey. He told the truth. He kept a prophet from being killed. Rooster, preach the gospel.
Amen.
Right. What about it? He said, these rocks will cry out. Right? You know what the old original 7-inch reels especially? You know what those 7-inch reel tapes was made out of? That's the reason I don't like some of this other stuff. It's too modern and all, and it's fine. It works perfectly good. But the old 7-inch reels was made out of rocks. He said, them rocks will cry out. That was a stone made. They were made from stone. Put together where it would make a tape. Isn't that wonderful? The rocks will cry out. And they have. Let's stand together. Come on, brother. Just think on this. Compare. Now let me give you one last quote that Brother Ram said. He said, if God does anything for one person, you may say any person, but you know, if God does anything for anybody, he said, it ought to throw the rest of the church into desperation. Whether it be healing, or whether it be revealing of the word, or what it be. Now listen, folks. We need rain. It is drying up all over the country. Not just here, but other states and things. It's drying up. They don't know what's going on. I was reading in the paper the other day where they said they couldn't. This is happening and that's happening, and they can't figure out why. We need rain. You know what we need then? We need sons and daughters to call for rain. See? We need to pray for rain. Pray for it and then say it. And say, God, thank you for the rain. Can you say it that way? Let's say it all together. God, thank you for the rain. We've made you known, Father. Now come and manifest yourself. You remember years ago? 1988, is that the year? I stood right here. July and August is our driest, hottest months. I stood right here and I said, it'll rain more this August than it has ever rained. That was a month or so before August. They recorded in Gainesville that there was more rain that month than had ever been in the month of August. But you see, I want you to say it. I know where I stand. I've stood on the Word. You think I'm afraid to preach? You think I'm afraid to go out and face the ministers and preachers of this, whatever, this message? I fear no man. Why? Because if I'm wrong, I can be made right. But if I'm right, God will honor it. I want you to see it. When that brother saw the pillar of fire, I'd see it up here around the pulpit. I told him, I said, don't tell nobody for a little while. Let it go. So one day I asked him, I said, well, have you seen anything else? You know? He said, yeah. And I said, well, what'd you see? He said, I saw the pillar of fire leaving from here and going back that way. Immediately a brother jumped on that and he said, we got to pray because the Holy Spirit's leaving out of here. The pillar of fire's leaving. I come right behind him. I said, no, sir. I said, it's doing exactly what I asked him to do. It's leaving here to go to you. Take it and speak it. We need it. Children, speak the word. Let God speak back. Go ahead, brother.
369 on the red book.
Anybody have a need?
The mighty God is Jesus, the Prince of Peace is He, the everlasting Father, the King eternally, the wonderful in wisdom, the Lord of all things are made, the fullness of the Godhead.
Mark the time. Okay. It's right now, 13 minutes till 9. Okay. Remember, I'll tell you later. Lord Jesus,
Father,
our brother just asked him to dedicate himself to you. And Lord, he wants to be dedicated. He said he hadn't been what you wanted him to be. He needs healing in the body, yeah. But he needs spiritual healing for his soul.
Yes, Lord.
To reach down and touch him, Father.
Lord,
just touch him and make all things well. In the name of Jesus Christ. Anybody else? You have a need? Let's believe it. Why can't we believe what God has done? Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our sister says that she needs to dedicate herself to you and to just be more sincere in loving you. And we thank you, Father. You said if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. And we thank you, Father. Just bless and let your love be there in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Just come and let's see. Let's see if he's real. I believe he's real. I just want you to see he's real. The Godhead is all in him. Father, our brother's been having some swelling around his heart, been giving him trouble. We condemn that under the blood of Jesus Christ and believing God's word that by your stripes, Lord, our brother is healed. We condemn all the things that would, the symptoms, and we believe you in Jesus' name. Just go believe it. Anybody else? It's all. You believe it? All in Him. It's all in Him. It's Jesus and it's all in Him. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our brother has got a prayer cloth. He has a need. We believe it's all finished. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Do you believe it? John and glory to his name. It's all in him. It's all in Jesus Christ. It's all in him. It's not in me and you. Let's just pray and believe it and give him a prayer cloth, okay? Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we send this prayer cloth to this one, Lord, that has a need. And just take everything away in Jesus' name. All in him. Is it? Anybody else? It's all in him. It's all in him. Do you believe?
My neighbor. because of the degenerative disease and how many go blind. It's like 38. And if the insurance is not paying, help.
Tell him to put it in Acts 19.
Acts 19.
That's where it's about to applause from Paul, you know. Acts 19, and believe. Father, in Jesus' name, we send this prayer cloth to our sister's neighbor there. You make all things well. We love you in Jesus' name. You know what? The prophet said the Godhead is not complete without you. He said it's not complete without you. Lord Jesus, our buddy's friend are still in the hospital. We ask you to just reach down and touch, Lord. Deliver him because our buddy believes it. We believe you in Jesus' name. All in him, that's all. Do you believe it? See, and the prophet said that the bride would be the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's on the unveiling of God, mighty God unveiled before us. He said the bride would be the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know why? Because she'll be God made manifest. She'll be the life form of God, the life immortality of God. For the Gentile dispensation. Then he'll change to Israel. Do you? Bow down before you, Heavenly Father. I appreciate you. Do you? Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Are you? Is he a comfort to you?
Holy Spirit,
you're a comfort to me. Glory. You lead me,
guide me,
dwelling
inside me.
Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? You believe it? So many blessings undeserving. That's what we are. We ought to thank Him. Love and praise Him a little more today. A whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? And it's good of Him to reveal His Word, to save us, to deliver us. Love and praise Him a little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. You're dismissed. Just sing that to one another as you're on the way out. Father, bless the people. Be with each one in Jesus' name.
I'm a conqueror. That's what I am.